Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome once again to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You know the drill. It is your boy, Andre, also with Robert Ford, checking in on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, yep.
Introduce the other person first, Andre Peterson.
What are you talking about? We're having fun with this. It's good. Robert Ford, first.
We're just joking, America.
Nah, we're having fun. Anyway, once again, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. For those that want to call in, do not forget, the guest call number is 424-243-9519. I didn't do a good job of posting that or saying that last week, but we just got caught up in a lot of the topics. So that being said, Robert, we have a lot to go over again. And I guess let's start. I'm kind of springing this on you, but obviously it's pretty sad, NFL-wise, to lose Al Davis. I know a visionary, if you will, hired a lot of people outside of the box, you know, having obviously the first Hispanic coach and first woman, I guess, in certain positions. So great loss, if you will, for the NFL to see him go, even though he could debate that he kind of lost control near the end there, but what a visionary, and it's good to see that the Raiders did good to honor him this past Sunday, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, he's the first owner to hire a Latino head coach, an African-American head coach, and a woman CEO in the NFL. And So you got to give him credit for being a, you know, thinking
visionary
outside of the box. And even down to the football field, Al Davis had a great football mind. And, he was one of the true visionaries of the vertical passing game in the NFL back in the 60s. I mean, you can attribute a lot of what we see today of the vertical passing game all the way back to Al Davis. And he was definitely one of the pioneers of the vertical passing game. And so he has contributed to, you know, both football on the field, and he's done, you know, some incredible things off the field. You know, he's a little bit of a maverick, but he definitely was an asset to the NFL.
Yeah, and it's interesting too to hear like some comments real quick, how a lot of players say how much they appreciated him because he really cared about his players too. So that's something that people can learn from now. And I got to give him credit too, because he made a lot of remade a lot of guys' careers, and you know, he got a lot of guys that said that they weren't about anything, and he kind of resurrected some of their careers and took a gamble on some players that people said that they were pretty much washed up. So he took those players and was able to do a lot of good things with them too. So got to give a quick shout out to Al Davis and the family and stuff like that too. So I'm sure that was a big loss, if you will, to the NFL.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I guess wrapping up, I just had to say that because we always recap things that are happening, obviously with the league that's going on. And jumping to college football, what's really going on with South Carolina? I'm sure we thought they were probably going to do some damage, and right now, they're not doing that bad as well, but off the field stuff is kind of taking a hit on Mr. On the old ball coach here, with him releasing Stephen Garcia, if you will, and obviously some more controversy going on with some recruiting. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and I'm sure Stephen Garcia, dude, just keeps making mistakes. So eventually, he's going to catch up to him, if you will, and maybe he's getting what he deserved a little bit, if you will.
Yes, South Carolina, Stephen Garcia had a history of some suspensions and off-the-field issues, and I guess this one was like the final straw. that kind of dismissed him off the football team. And,
yeah.
You know, it sounds as though, according to Garcia, this came as a complete surprise to him. You know, he said this was, you know, totally out of left field. But, I mean, I think South Carolina still only has one loss on the season. As of right now, they're still in first place in the SEC East. But, you know, I think losing to Auburn may actually hurt them. I know you and I have talked about this on the show quite a few times. Georgia has a very weak SEC schedule by SEC standards. And Georgia does not have to play LSU, Alabama, or Arkansas from the West. And as you just saw Florida have to play Alabama and LSU in back-to-back weeks. And
yeah.
And they got creamed in back-to-back weeks. And Georgia does not have to play those teams at all. So the schedule kind of sets up perfectly for Georgia to win the SEC East and play in the SEC championship game. And so that's South Carolina losing to Auburn really hurt them. So now they really, they own the tiebreaker over Georgia because they beat them. But, you know, South Carolina still has to play Florida, and they have to still play some of these teams from the SEC West. So I kind of still see the possibility of Georgia sneaking out and winning at SEC East over South Carolina.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you as well. You know, Georgia got the benefit of the doubt, which is another reason why if you are a Georgia fan that, you know, that Boise State loss, you know, as much as, you know, you're hoping that it means more later on. But as you mentioned, they have a weak schedule, and we'll see how they perform because, as you know, getting beat up in the SEC is going to be tough, and they're really going to have to hold their water if they make it far and even get to option to get in the championship game if they get that far too. So
yeah. But with that being said, I'm not saying that Georgia's a bad football team. I'm just saying that the schedule kind of sets up a little bit better for them than it did South Carolina and Florida. And, you know, Florida's got some quarterback issues to go along with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what do you think? You know, obviously there's a couple big games that we're going to talk about this weekend. Florida at Auburn, as much as, you know, I don't know if you talk about that as well. I mean, do you think they have a realistic shot of actually winning the game at Auburn, if you will?
If Jeff Brantley is not the starting quarterback, I don't think they have a shot. And I'll even go as far as say even if Jeff Brantley does play, I like Auburn in this game. Auburn has right now Auburn is scoring points. They capable of scoring points at Auburn. The defense is a little bit suspect. But Florida does not have the pro-style personnel yet that Charlie Weiss wants to run. I mean, I saw that firsthand this past weekend against LSU. I mean, they still have players who Urban Meyer recruited to play in the spread, and they don't quite have the personnel for that pro-style offense yet that Charlie Weiss wants to run. And so, I mean, it may take them a year or two to really get to where he wants that program to be offensively. I don't like Florida to win that game at all. And once again, you look at the teams that Florida has to play in the West: Alabama, LSU, Auburn, back-to-back weeks. And I think they're gonna lose all three, and they've already lost two of them.
What a tough season for Florida too. Yeah, go ahead.
And these are their two losses, of course. And I can definitely see a third one. I think after that they get a bye week, and then they play in a, you know, outdoor cocktail party against Georgia. And as of right now, I would have to say that I think Georgia's going to win that game too. So they could easily go on a four-game losing streak here. You know, from Alabama, LSU, Auburn, and Georgia. But, you know, that's why they play the game. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, how that all kind of shakes out. I think the game of the weekend is number 18 Arizona State at number 9 Oregon for our Pac-12 fans out there. I think that's the game of the weekend in college football. I know Oregon is going to be without LaMichael James, but I still like Oregon to pull this victory out. Arizona State has a very solid defense. I don't know if a lot of people around the country are aware of that, but this is a very strong defensive ball club. Dennis Erickson has done a fine job there, rebuilding that program. But I still like Oregon at home to eke out a win. But I think it might be closer than a lot of people think.
Gotcha. Now, real quick, I'm going to take a step back here. We're going to talk about, I like how you were talking about Florida. And I'm going to kind of flip the script, if you will. Do you think that it means anything that Florida is losing to a lot of SEC schools? I mean, because that has, obviously they're playing a very tough schedule. I mean, is that going to have any type of ramification at the end of the year for the bowl season, or is this kind of like kind of bad luck, if you will, or is that going to help them out, you think, or what?
Well, I mean, well, right now, I just think I think they would be a better team if they had Brantley, that's for sure, because they went through all of the offseason with Brantley running the pro-style offense. I don't know how much of the game you saw this past weekend against Florida and LSU, but they tried to mix in some pro-style along with the spread. And you can just obviously see that their personnel right now is best suited for the spread. And because that's basically where Urban Meyer recruited. But that's not the system that that Charlie Weiss wants to run. He wants to run a pro-style offense. But he still has got to get the kind of personnel. They don't have a pro-style running back. Their running backs are all suited for the spread.
Gotcha.
They don't have a Trent Richardson like Alabama has. They don't have a Spencer Ware like LSU has. They just don't have that every down running back that you need in a pro-style offense. And so it's going to take a couple of years of recruiting to kind of get the personnel that he wants. And then defensively, LSU just manhandled them on the line of scrimmage. Now,
wow.
You know, LSU's got a great offensive line, mind you. But, man, they were just blowing them off the ball. And it's kind of surprised. I'm more surprised about their defense. I can understand the offense just because of the transition and coaching styles. But defensively, you think a school like Florida should have some big-time recruits. And, LSU just manhandled them on the line of scrimmage.
Wow. Well, like you said, I think that's definitely due to something. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Charlie Strong was a big proponent of what was going on. I thought he was a pretty solid defensive coordinator, so you lose him. I don't know if it's just the coaching, if you will, in that aspect, but and I'm not a Florida fan by any means, obviously, no offense to Jeff Camp or anything like that, but, I just think it may have just coaching. But they'll definitely get there, as you know. They're going to get those big recruits, and they're going to be right up there, if not the next couple of years, obviously, too, as mentioned, too. Go ahead. I don't know if you had to – I was just going to kind of recap everything that happened last week, unless you want to finish any thoughts about that.
Oh, no, you can go right ahead. I was kind of going to get into some of the other big games this coming weekend, but we can finish the recap.
Real quick, obviously it's interesting to see Oregon kind of had their way with California the way that they did. I thought it was going to be a little closer. So they kind of blew them out, and then, LSU was all over Florida. Man, you guys should have gave them some love. And I think another surprise real quick was seeing the way that Oklahoma manhandled Texas. So a lot of big game margins, if you will, the past weekend too. So just want to talk about that real quick. We can jump into next week. But, yeah, it was interesting to see a lot of teams that just kind of like manhandled some teams, if you will.
Yeah. I'm not surprised at how bad Oregon beat Cal. I mean, I predicted Oregon to win, and I kind of thought they would go away with it. I picked Oklahoma to beat Texas, but I would have never thought it would have been as bad as it was. I know we want to get into a little bit of talking about who we think is the best team in college football, but I was thoroughly impressed with Oklahoma on both sides of the ball. You got to give them a lot of credit. I know there's a lot of debate who's the best team in the country out of Oklahoma, LSU, and Alabama. And, anybody that listens to the show, I'm an LSU fan, I'm a homer. But if I'm going to be totally objective about this, I personally think Oklahoma is the best team in the country. I know a lot of my SEC fans may not like me saying this, but I think the difference between Oklahoma, LSU, and Alabama is Oklahoma has the great quarterback. You know, they have the game changer at the quarterback position that LSU and Alabama just doesn't have. I think LSU and Alabama have better defenses than Oklahoma. But I think Oklahoma's defense is still very good, and to go along with a great QB and a great offense. And my personal opinion is I think Oklahoma is the best team in the country right now. I would put LSU number two, and I would put Alabama number three. And just because I'm putting LSU over Alabama, that doesn't mean I think LSU will beat Alabama in Alabama. I think if the game was on a neutral field, I think LSU will win. But, you know, I know that's a few weeks down the road, and we'll kind of have to wait and see what happens. But I do think LSU is a better team than Alabama.
Wow. That, I didn't expect that, honestly. I really didn't. But I do have something to say about that. You know, I'm kind of I think the best team is Georgia Tech. No, I'm a joking. I think definitely it's probably I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go Alabama. And the mm-hmm. reason why I say Alabama is because, say what you will, I do think coaching has something to do with it. As much as I would agree with you on the point of having a dynamic quarterback like a Landry Jones, I'm just not sold 100% yet with Bob Stoops. Now, I mean, like I said, you know, him in the big games, he still has to prove some things to me. And I think Nick Saban, his coaching is definitely up there. And I think he'll out-coach a lot of people, even if he may not have the best talent. Obviously, he's able to do more with less. If you look at, Greg McElroy last year, or McElroy, excuse me, you know, he didn't have anything special. He was just a game manager, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, you've got Trent Richardson. You got an explosive offense. You know, you've got some guys that are just going to, you know, not make mistakes. That's all he looks for. That's kind of why I may lean towards Alabama at this juncture. I have LSU number two. The reason why I have them number two, obviously, they have a great defense. And same thing, they're kind of similar to Alabama. It's kind of 1A, 1B, if you will, because, you know, right now they're playing lights out and they have a lot of confidence. Jared Lee is doing his thing, not making any mistakes. You got to give them some love. And then, as you mentioned, I'm going to go Oklahoma number third, only because I'm just not as sold with Bob Stoops as the head coach. And that's not a shot for all my guys up there. You know, I'm just saying that's just kind of what I see, unless Stoops kind of builds a reputation too. I mean, he's really got to do some big things. And I'm not talking about the Texas game. I'm talking about, you know, national championship, you know, big game, you know. So, you know, he has to kind of prove it to me. For me to elevate their team too. But, you know, as mentioned, you know, Landry Jones is the truth. And mentioned how they start playing some really good teams. And not to say Texas wasn't a good team, but I'm talking about, you know, a top SEC school or something like that.
Let's talk about a few sleeper teams out there too, really quick. I know we need to move on a little bit to some other topics. But Stanford is undefeated. And Let's just say Stanford is undefeated right now, arguably have the best QB in the country in Andrew Luck. Let's say they roll through the Pac-12 and go undefeated. Let's say LSU or Alabama, we know that both will not go undefeated because they haven't played each other. Let's say one of those teams roll through the SEC and go undefeated. And let's say, you know, you got Oklahoma State. Let's say one of those teams roll through the Big 12 and go undefeated. And let's say Wisconsin rolls through the Big Ten and go undefeated. And Clemson or Georgia Tech rolls through the ACC and go undefeated. That's five undefeated teams. I'm not going to even include the Big East because it looked like the Big East best team is West Virginia, and they've already lost to LSU. Now, I don't know what the likelihood of this possibly happening. What if that happens? I mean, do you think any of these teams outside of the big three right now, LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, has a chance?
Wow, great question. I think they're going to look at the strength of schedule, obviously. So SEC is still always going to.
And I didn't even include Boise State in that mix. So, I mean,
Boise State,
Boise State, and you can have a possibility of 6 undefeated teams right there.
Unfortunately, Boise State is always going to be on the outside looking in right now. Their biggest win was, what, Georgia? And Georgia is kind of like.
They need Georgia to keep winning to make that win look
right.
good.
Exactly. So Georgia's got to, Georgia's got to, I don't even know if beating Florida is going to make a big difference for Boise State. But, you know, as mentioned, they have to do some big things. They're going to be on the outside looking in. You know, Georgia Tech, I mean, as much as I'm a homer for them, it's going to be tough. You got to go with SEC schools. You got to go with, Wisconsin is doing big things. They're gonna be up in there as well. It's just as far as sleeper schools, you know. Like I said, I think the best shot right now is probably Wisconsin, and I think that's because of obviously Russell Wilson is doing some big things too. So, you know,
I think the thing that's gonna hurt them is the Big Ten is extremely weak this year.
It is weak. Yeah, you're right about that. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that's kind of why I'm torn because. Between you're kind of juggling. You're juggling between, you know, the ACC with Georgia Tech. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Virginia Tech and they're having a down year. I mean, not a great year, obviously. Same, you know, and look at Clemson. I mean, Clemson may have something to do if we can pull that victory off. But Florida State, everyone's picked them to do some things, and Florida State is pretty much down. And that's just obviously because of the loss of EJ Manuel, if you will. But it's just interesting to see how the dynamics of what's going on in college football is definitely changing the way that the final standings are going to be. So, you know, at this juncture,
that would be extremely interesting if you have 6 undefeated teams. That's something that we should kind of pay attention to and kind of see how this kind of shakes out with the BCS. And I know there's a couple of more top 25 matchups this weekend that we can kind of cover really quick. We got number 6 Oklahoma State going on the road to number 22 Texas. Even though Texas is at home, I like Oklahoma State in this matchup. I mean, I don't think Texas is going to be able to slow down this offense, which I think their offense is almost just as good as Oklahoma. And I don't think they have the defense Oklahoma has at Oklahoma State, but. I like Oklahoma State going to road and get this win. I don't know your thoughts on that real quick.
I agree as well. Anything you want to talk about Baylor and Texas A&M? Is that a worthwhile
mention?
Yeah,
that's another
there?
One. We got number 20, Baylor. Robert Griffin, quarterback, has been playing phenomenal.
My God.
Heisman candidate. And
they're going at number 21,
Texas A&M. I like A&M in this game at home. But I expect it to be a good ball game. I expect it to be a high-scoring ball game as well. But I'm going to pick A&M in this one. I don't know your thoughts on that.
I like Robert Griffin III with Baylor, man. That's just me, man. So hopefully they'll be able to pull it off, man. So that's just me. But go ahead. I'm a fan.
One other top 25 matchup, number 11 Michigan. They're going against their in-state rivals at number 23 Michigan State. I like the Wolverines in this one on the road.
Wolverines on the road. Wow. I got to be honest with you. I haven't watched a lot of Michigan ball games. They're 6-0. Anything we need to know about them real quick in your vantage point? I haven't had a chance to watch them. I know Brady Hope was doing some big things.
He's doing a great job.
I know
we talked about Wisconsin, but, yeah, Michigan is still undefeated. Illinois is still undefeated in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's an opportunity for one of those teams to kind of out of the Big Ten to kind of rise and finish undefeated. I think Wisconsin is the best team in the Big Ten, but Michigan has been playing extremely well. Denard Robinson is having an unbelievable year. And in my personal opinion, I think Michigan is the second best team in the Big Ten this year behind Wisconsin. I think Illinois may be the third best team. Ohio State has fallen down. And believe it or not, I got Nebraska as the fourth best team in the conference, although preseason-wise, I thought they would be neck and neck with Wisconsin, but it turns out not to be that way. But I like Michigan on the road. And then we can talk about our current teams real quick. I mean, LSU is going on the road at Tennessee. I've not been a homer, people, but I like the Bayou Bengals to go on the road and beat Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't have their starting quarterback. Tyler Bray will be out this week. I like the Tigers in that. And Georgia Tech on the road at Virginia. I know who you like, but I would agree that I think Georgia Tech's going to go on the road and get another win this weekend.
Yeah, it should be good for both those squads, too, because Georgia Tech, they just keep tweaking that offense, and Paul Johnson is finally getting players that he's not having to sell for the system, but he's kind of putting his players in, putting a stamp on the program, too, and it's going to be an interesting game, if you will, too, as well. We got to keep rolling, if you will. Wow.
I know we're only got about 5 minutes to go if we want to get to a little bit of NFL coverage here.
Yeah, I'll talk real quick. You know, obviously, I just want to highlight some quick things here. We're going to leave my team out of it for now, getting pummeled by holding on and getting beat by the Packers. But I just wanted to say that if you are a Detroit Lions fan, wow, I'm pretty proud of you guys, because after getting beat up and beaten up the getting beat up in your division, for you guys to finally make a stand and beat up on the Chicago Bears, that's probably a huge accomplishment for you guys, being 6-0, obviously. And as we mentioned earlier before this week, we were talking about how it's going to be a very interesting game if they can somehow get to playing the Packers and both teams being undefeated too. So it is going to be a very interesting couple of weeks here. If you don't think that Detroit is definitely a serious contender, wow. I guess we got to have to take them seriously now, too. So it's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks, too. So
totally agree.
As well. Yeah.
I think Detroit is definitely playoff bound this year, but I still think they're going to be a wild card. I still think Green Bay is the best team in that division. And I think Detroit will be a wild card team. But I think they will split in their head-to-head matchups this year. I think Detroit and Green Bay will split, but I still think Green Bay will have the better overall record. And I still think they are a better team than Detroit. But Detroit, hats off to them. They're playing phenomenal. And I do see them getting into the playoffs as a wild card this year.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that, too. And real quick, as we kind of highlight some things as we're getting near the end of the show, Cam Newton just barely pulled off some things against the Saints. Did you get a chance to recap the game and kind of your thoughts? Because, NFC South, we always seem to beat each other up, too. We're kind of like SEC, if you will. It's kind of interesting to see us play each other. So anything you would have to say as we get prepared to welcome Cam Newton to the Georgia Dome?
Yes, I would definitely. I did get a chance to watch the game in its entirety on last night. And and I know you and I have had these conversations even going back to the preseason, and I think I even mentioned it. I think Carolina is going to be a tough out this year because I think that team has talent, and I think they were just kind of missing a quarterback. And I think I mentioned in the preseason I could easily see them jumping up to a 5 or 6 win season. I didn't think they would be a playoff team this year, but I figured they would be a team that would be in a lot of ball games and playing teams tough. And I think that's exactly what they are. They've been in every game. They've had opportunities to really, be in every game and have an opportunity to win, a lot of these games. I think this past, based on what I saw last night from the game on Sunday, it was just too much Drew Brees on the last drive. And, clutch performance, pulling that out down the stretch. But my hat's off to Carolina and Cam Newton. I mean, that franchise has a lot of hope. And you can see that that he's probably going to get even better. And that could be a little scary for the rest of us in the NFC South.
Yeah, and just to wrap it up, we have about 60 seconds left. I just want to say that real quick. Can you imagine if Cam Newton got in there early, because he's defied all the odds for everyone that said he wasn't going to do squad in the NFL too. So, me being a fan, I'm happy to see him do some good things. Real quick, let's talk about next week. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to recap the games that we just discussed. Obviously, it should be interesting coming back. We have to play Carolina. Who do you guys have to play real quick, Robert, going into next week?
The Saints are at Tampa Bay. So both of...
Okay.
all of the NFCs, well, you know, NFC South are actually playing against another NFC South team this weekend. So Saints are at Tampa, and Carolina's at Atlanta.
Yep. Well, like I said, as always, it's been a pleasure, folks, for talking and hosting the show, Talking Sports the 12th Man. Tell your friends, everyone, join us on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun things. And, you know, it's a pleasure and honor for us to host. We are here every Wednesday. Right now, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central. And I guess we're signing off. Anything last things you want to say as we close the show, Rob?
Just enjoy another great week of some football, and join us on next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, people. We'll talk to you guys soon. And we're off. Good job, sir.
All right. You the man, Doc. You doing it.
That was fun, man.
Yeah.
That was a good episode, man. We had some fun.
I think
man.
We went through the show again without saying the phone number enough, too.
I know, man. It's you just get so, you know, like it's,
we get
I'm
so caught up
Rob.
Into it.
Yeah, 30 minutes really does seem to pass by. You don't think that, you know, 30 minutes, that you're going to, you know, really have that much to talk about. But, you know, I just gives us some validation that we can, you know, kind of like, you know, talk about some good things and kill some time too. So, you know, it's good stuff, you know. So, you know, like I said, I'm thinking in my head, okay, I get it out there before and after, post it and all that fun stuff, it'll at least will kind of drum up some traction. But, yeah, good show, man.
Yeah, TV and radio etiquette, man. You always say the other person's name first.
I know. I was thinking about that too, and I said, I was like, crap, I couldn't go back and say it. But I was like, yeah, anyway. So I'm kind of tired. Man,
I'm here with Robert Ford, and I'm Andre Peterson.
I know, man. The first time I was thinking that too. I was like, man, you know, I was thinking of like ESP, and they always announce the other guy, you know. So anyway, sorry, dude. I you didn't tell that I was sleepy, man. I'm still like.
Oh, it's all good. We spent so much time on college football, man. We left ourselves a little time on the NFL.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen now. I mean, you know, we talked about Al Davis. I had to, like, mention something about Al Davis, too, so that's okay. But, it's a little thing that you want to, you know, because we have to at least talk about things that are happening in life. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's all good. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, like I said, man, I hope all is well, man. Having fun, all that good stuff. And, you know, till the next show, as always, it's been fun, man. So I'm about to turn in here. But kids doing good? Everything's going fine?
Oh, yeah, things are well.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll... Guess we'll catch up on next week, Doc.
Yeah, man, good show. Like I said, man, I was impressed, and like I said, I won't let that happen again. And I don't know what I was thinking, man. I was just like, you know, the first time I said it, I was like, dang it. But you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Mom and plunder for the night. All is well.
All right, Chief. We'll catch up on next week, man. Nope.
Shout.
All right.
Sounds good, sir. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.